Amen. During the holy 50 days, right after Easter, the church is celebrating the resurrection of the Lord for 50 days, for 7 weeks. And every week we have a theme to know about Christ. Why? Because Christ, during this time, he used to appear to the disciples and showed him by proofs who he is. Last week, or the first week after resurrection, or the day of the resurrection, he appeared to them. And he told them, come, touch me. So that's the first step, is to be in touch with Christ. Touch him, see him. Is he a spirit? Is imaginary body? No, it's not. They in touch, they came in touch with him. And told him, even touch my wounds. He is the one who have wounds in his hands. It's a sign. It's a sign. No one can walk around with his wounds, right? We always cover our wounds, right? Try to hide our wounds. But Christ is showing them, because these are the signs of victory. And he wants everyone to be in touch with him through the wounds. And maybe you heard about the wounds of Christ. It is the members who are suffering in the church. So Christ is calling all of us to see who's suffering. Christ came to the suffering people, came to the world. And the world is in need of Christ. Why? Because Christ is fixing everything. There is no one other than him who can fix, or who can change, or who can give more, like what we know today. So every week, Christ used to appear, especially on Sunday. As a matter of fact, Jewish, they gather on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was over, and he appeared to them on Sunday. And he started to appear to them every Sunday. That's why Sunday became the day of the church, the day of gathering, the day of Christ appearing to the disciples and inviting them every time to be in touch with him. So the church every Sunday is trying, for those 7 weeks, is trying to focus on one point. Today's point, as we have heard, he is the bread of life. It was the first miracle that Christ did in his life and ministry. One of the early works he had done, he fed the multitude. And right after feeding the multitude, the disciples came and said, we'll make you a king. And he said, no. King? Only king? Only king? That's bad. I'm out of the world. I'm not of this world. I don't want to be a king. I just want to be your friend. I want to be your master. I don't want to be your king. King is not going to do me any good. Places of the earth is not going to do any good of Christ. But Christ now, he wants to reign on the hearts. And so after this, after he fed them, said, this is a miracle. He fed 5,000 out of some fish and 5 loaves. We want to make him a king. Because they remember the good old days, God rained manna on the desert. They found manna in the desert. Said, this is a gift from God. This is a sign. A sign from God to his people. He's trying to feed them, right, to nourish them. And you know what manna was? Manna was like the bread with honey. And it tastes like honey, but it was simple bread. It was given to them. So since God trying to establish his covenant to his people, he was trying to feed his people. Feed them. You know, bread is a very important element in our nutrition, right? A very poor person, he can eat a loaf of bread or a piece of bread, and he can survive. Maybe it's not the cheapest thing to find today, but it used to be. In the days of Christ, the least thing you can give a poor person, give him a piece of bread I don't forget, it was a day like here. It was just small, like the Urban. First time I went to Jerusalem, and I looked at their bread, they used to make the bread exactly like Urban. And until today, their bread is round and big, and very desirable to eat. That's why Christ made it very obvious. That we need to be nourished by the bread. Moreover about this, since Christ established his covenant with his disciples, whenever they were hungry, he used to feed them. And we are fed by two ways. Right? Is there a third way we can be fed? I know in the hospital there is a third way. Huh? And the first way is the stomach. Right? But we are fed mentally first. So Christ always used to give, before the food, he used to give words. The church always gathered around the word of Christ. If you'll find, if you're attentive to the readings today, they speak about the word of God and the food. What's the relation between both? It is one. As you feed your stomach with bread, you have to feed your mind with words, ideas. God was giving himself visible to the people. And not always by the food. And he said this in the book of Deuteronomy a long time ago. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when the devil was trying to tempt Christ, Christ pulled this verse and gave it to the devil. We have a deal. We have a deal since the beginning of the world. Man cannot sustain by food only, but man can feed mentally first. If you remember the people who stayed with Christ for 3 days, and Christ was talking to them, and they forget about the food. Why? They were happy to sit with him, to learn from him, and to be nourished by him. And the Lord, in his compassion, said what? Give them something to eat. Give them something to eat. If they are fed spiritually, we have to feed them physically as well. Okay? So, Christ, since he began his covenant and work, so Christ is trying to reach out for his own people. If you are physically oriented, he's trying to provide food. But the food he gives is what? He said, the food I give, the bread I give, is my body. And at the Last Supper, he broke the bread and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So a bread, when the Jewish heard this, said, this is crazy, right? This is not acceptable. How can this person give us his body to eat? We don't eat people's body. We don't eat this. How this person can give us his body to eat? This is unacceptable. Because they were materially, on materialistic, trying to reach out to this, trying to understand. But always Christ was trying to give more than words. You have to understand before you eat. What is this? What is this? So, there was a few words. Enlighten ourselves with. He said, the foundation of the mystery of communion, he said, he who eats my body, drinks my blood, shall live forever. So the first benefit we get from communion or from the bread of Christ or the body of Christ, living forever. Do you remember today the third reading, the Acts, was about what? St. Paul. And the young man, Eutychus, he was listening to the word of God, but he fell asleep. So he fell down But St. Paul said, don't be troubled, his spirit is in him. By the power of Christ, he raised him again. And this is the power of life. The power of life. Even if we die, we'll rise again by the word of Christ. He who eats my body and drinks my blood shall live forever. So how about dying? Dying is it's a step to reach the other world. But as a matter of fact, the spirit never dies. Those who believe in Christ, they shall live forever, living here and living in heaven. But in order to move in heaven, they have to go through the death. But Christ, when he gave his body, he said, this is for life. It is not just for food. It is symbolic for life. But when it goes in, it makes the body luminous, makes the body different. So it's the gift of the eternal life. He who eats my body, drinks my blood, shall live forever. How shall we? We cannot live by ourselves, but we live by the gift that God gave to us, his body and blood. He who eats the body and blood shall live forever. The second point is that Christ was trying to give the fulfillment. So, the body of Christ is for life. Second is fulfillment. He said, he will come to me. He will come to me. I will never cast out. I will never cast out. He will stay with me. I will feed him. I will feed him. He comes to me. He will never be hungry. And he who believes in me, he will never be thirst. I think hungry and thirst for the body is essential. So Christ made it the same. He who eats, he who comes to me, he will never be cast out. He who believes in me, he will never be thirst again. He will eat my body, he will be fulfilled, and he who believes in me, he will never thirst again. He will never thirst to the world. He will never have the desire of the water of this world. He will be fed out of this world. This is the gift of Christ. Gift of Christ. Whoever comes to him will never be cast out. Whoever believes in him, he will never be thirst. So Saint Augustine said, we have communion in the body of Christ. We have communion in the body of the Lord. We have communion with Christ himself. We are in communion. We are in communion. We are in company with Christ. We are communicating with him. We are in company with him through his body and blood. It's a new thing. It's nothing like the Old Testament. It's like food. It is a heavenly food. Christ has found this mystery, the mystery of life. The mystery of life. When he took the bread and broke and gave, and he said, eat, this is mine. Whoever doesn't eat of this has no share with Christ. There's no share with Christ. So, the body and blood of Christ is for life, for fulfillment, and always for the true knowledge. The true knowledge. He sees the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him in the last day. Knowing Christ the way we should know, we cannot do it by ourselves. We need help. Whatever you know, whatever I know, whatever the whole world know, does not equal a word from God. A word of God can give a true understanding. That's why you find some ignorant people, they didn't know anything, but they know Christ very well. Christ doesn't need a scientific standard or knowledge standard. He needs the heart. When the people give the heart, he puts. I think yesterday we had in the church a day for the servants, and we were talking about a very famous statement about Christ when he said to Peter, attend to my sheep. You love me? Attend to my sheep. And or he asked Peter, do you love me? So the Lord is asking everyone, do you love me? And we are speaking about love. And when we speak about love, we turn about, we are going around Christ. Because God is love. God is love. And we found out after talking for hours that love is not energy, it's a gift that God gives to everyone. And in a different way, someone loved to raise his kids. Someone, God gave him love to teach others. Someone give love to, God can give love to someone, so he have compassion. One day I was walking by the beach, one of the piers, I don't know where, that was a long time ago, and I found a man, he's feeding the birds. And when he saw me, he invited me, give me some seeds, and he told me, God is providing me to give to the birds. I think something we don't understand, or something we don't care about. Huh? We care about ourselves. But God put his love in the heart of a man to give the birds this sustenance. Because God does not care only about human, but he cares about birds and animals and plants. And we find people have compassion about the creation of the Lord. So Christ, the source of the eternal life, is trying to convey the eternal life to the church. And we cannot live by words alone, but we live by, we cannot live by bread alone, but we live by the word of God. So God is trying to enrich the church, fulfill the church, giving compassion to the church. And how this could be physically, could be by communion. Finally, I would like to say, communion needs three things. First, believing what this is. That's why the priest, when he gives the communion, he said, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't believe, don't take. Okay? If you don't believe that this is the body of Christ, you cannot take. You cannot take. But if you believe, you're welcome to. If you are of the group of the believers, it is your gift. It is your gift from God. Not because you are in a good position, you take communion, but you take communion to become good. So, communion needs believing, needs reconciliation. Huh? I have to be reconciled with myself, with the people around me, with God. I have to be reconciled. So people are fighting, are in trouble together, they should abstain from communion. Why? That's what Christ said. If you have something against your brother, leave your offering and go reconcile with your brother and then come offer your bread. Right? So communion needs reconciliation. I have to be reconciled with everyone. With myself first, with God second, and with the people around me. I don't know how you do it, but you have to do it. It's not easy. It is hard for some people, but it's easy for everyone who comes close to God. The third part of communion is prepare yourself for communion. Communion, it's a gift from Christ. For all the believers, it's not a right. It's not a right. It's a gift. Huh? Some people, they come, take communion, and leave. That's not going to do them any good. It's going to put them in trouble. Because if you don't take worthily, you are under the judgment. So you have to prepare yourself physically, mentally, spiritually. Confession is one of the preparation. Mentally, you're going to invite God to yourself. Imagine this. If you have an appointment with the president or with someone, or if you have an interview with someone, and you're going to meet him, you try to prepare the words, you try to see the fit clothes, try to feel the words, how do you appear, what kind of cologne you put, or you don't have to put a cologne or something. They come before the interview or something. If you have this, you can come. If you don't come. This is what you have to say. You have 2 minutes. You have 30 seconds to meet the president or someone on earth that he's going to die in some years. How about if you're meeting with God? Huh? If you're meeting with God, what do you have to do? Ask. Don't go by yourself. Ask the priest. Ask someone who knows. Ask your conscience. Ask God himself. Don't do it. Don't do it by force. It doesn't come by force. You have to be convinced that you're meeting Christ. That when you meet Christ, you will be granted the eternal life. You will be granted the fulfillment. You will be granted the true knowledge. All these will be given to you if you have the right communion. And the church in every meeting, we don't consider it's an official meeting unless Christ is in our midst. Right? Any celebration we do, any gathering, it's a liturgy. And the liturgy is the work of the people with God. Liturgy, the word liturgia, litu, laos, right? People, gia, service. General service with God. We're here, everyone in place, and God in his place. So comes time when we are ready to take, we partake of him. We partake of him to have our way to the eternal life. To overcome the devil, to overcome the world, overcome the world by Christ, overcome ourselves, and to have the true knowledge of him. May the Lord, who gave the church his body and blood, to be enriched and to be in touch with the eternal life, his knowledge, to know him better, who appeared to the disciples, who gave us the resurrection from heaven. Because the resurrection is something that is not known in the world. It's something that came from heaven to the church. The world knows death. But resurrection, it's a gift from God. And Christ, after the resurrection, he was meeting with the disciples, giving them power to overcome unbelief, to become believers. Believers by his body and blood, by his word, by his presence, by his standard. May he give us this power to be in touch with him forever, and for him is the glory forever. Amen.